I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government. This is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum.
He said you were involved in a racial incident.
He said you were racist.
He said you were.
You're going to be dealt with.
He said he works for
you. It's going to come to light who you really are. It's
going
to come to light who you really are.
Hey, just answer one question. Yes or no?
What about the fake person?
Yes or no?
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, February 1st, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And it is a wild and dystopic ride, to be sure. Yesterday, you know, time seems to be flying these days. It's a very strange phenomenon. It's flying and standing still all at the same time. We are, I don't know, in one of those weird moments, it seems. But we were not live yesterday. Yesterday was not a live broadcast. The last day of January 2023 was a rebroadcast because of inclement conditions and difficulty in getting to the network, but we have the undaunted, intrepid board op this morning who will not be denied. And so we're live, and we'll see how it goes. I would say, generally speaking, I guess two things. First of all, obviously, the information that is brought to light on this network is oftentimes terrifying. And there is an effort to control people psychologically through fear. I've talked about it many times, especially in, I don't know, the last several years, I guess. Trauma-based conditioning and mind control and things like that. How do you reduce the populace to a state of paralysis, essentially, and make them more malleable and controllable? And fear is a very useful tool. It's essential in things like learned helplessness. Martin Seligman and his colleague who built on the work of the crowd psychology and mind control experts, particularly the work of someone like John B. Watson. If you're not familiar, you can look up the Little Albert experiment, which is horrifying to think that someone would do that. You know, that anyone could do that and get away with it is, I think, a sad testament to our inhumanity, so to speak. but that that would then be built upon. And I've mentioned from time to time that years ago when I started talking about this, Wikipedia listed Dr. Martin Seligman and the experiment that he and a colleague engaged in at University of Pennsylvania back in the late 60s as something along the lines of an experiment that they happened upon. They happened upon the results of this thing called learned helplessness that they called learned helplessness by randomly and repeatedly shocking dogs. I don't know how you can do that and happen upon something to infer that doing something very intentionally results in something very random is a very absurd logical fallacy right out in plain sight. I don't know why anyone would believe that. It's completely fantastic, as in a fantasy, a chimerical notion, as they say, to believe that to do something so intentional, you didn't have some premeditated reason for engaging in that. Obviously, they did, because they were calling it a scientific study. So they formalized this thing they call learned helplessness, how to essentially train out of the dog its survival instinct. And by randomly and repeatedly shocking the dog, the dog would eventually learn not to try to save itself. And I think in the last 3 years now or so, it's about 3 years now, much of America has been subjected to this kind of treatment. The equivalent of being randomly and repeatedly shocked, whether it's the social protocols, the so-called social, which is actually antisocial distancing, you know, the masking nonsense that doesn't do anything, and you can see now everyone's all confused. You see video footage of events where, I mean, there was, what was the tennis thing that was held recently? Ladies tennis. Seeing people in a stadium full of people with a couple of young ladies. One of them actually looked like Caitlyn Jenner. I don't know what that's all about. I forget who that was, but I only caught glimpses, brief glimpses of it. But to have this going on, and obviously air circulating in this outdoor venue, and people stacked on, rows and rows and rows of people just stacked on top of one another, and air moving around and people applauding and moving about and things, and people wearing masks. This is a testament to, I think, the notion of learned helplessness. So we share information on this network that is difficult to hear and receive sometimes. And if we're not careful, I think we run the risk of bumping into or even playing into the nefarious agenda of those who would seek to inure the general populace of America and beyond in order to control people and to say, just go along with it. It's okay. We'll take care of you. Which, again, reminds me very, very much of the stabbing scene in Saving Private Ryan. And if you don't believe that there are folks who want to control and regulate your every breath, literally, I would encourage you to go spend some time on the World Economic Forum website, weforum.org. There are obviously countless resources, RBN being one, republicbroadcasting.org being one, that you can find innumerable examples of this very thing that I'm talking about. But, you know, go see for yourself. Hear it from the horse's mouth. You know, there's that piece that has been recirculating, for example. Maybe we should play that clip, actually, of Klaus Schwab and, you know, the conversation that he had with Sergey Brin about... Maybe we'll just play it. Let me grab that real quick. The 2017, I think it was 2017, World Economic Forum. And if you're not familiar, this is the kind of thing that I'm talking about. Before we do that, though, to finish the thought, the challenge, and it's not easy to it's a delicate balance. The challenge is for us on this network and people who try to raise awareness to help people understand what the heck is going on in the world. The challenge is to share information that is truly disturbing and arguably terrifying, but do it in a way that doesn't terrify, paralyze, and inure people. It doesn't contribute to the general malaise and the learned helplessness so that people are paralyzed and terrified. Ah, what should we do? Don't worry. The same people who are causing the problem are, you know, happy to show up and tell you, the technocrats in this case, you know, the experts, the so-called experts, because really, what constitutes expertise? I mean, there is a legitimate expertise, but usually what we're talking about with technocrats is a logical fallacy of circular reasoning or circular reference, where you get a circle full of people all pointing to each other saying, that guy's an expert. And so you go around the circle, everybody's an expert. The fascies, you know, the bundle of sticks that's difficult to break. They're all in lockstep. He's an expert. She's an expert. Senior fellow at Poobah, you know, nonprofit, non-governmental. It's amazing how well this works, too. You know, going back 100 years, Ivy Lee was the guy who sanitized John Dee's, Oily John Dee, the robber baron, sanitized his image. Works so well, it continues to this day. The image makers, as we're reminded by folks like Vance Packard in The Hidden Persuaders, published in 1957. Anyway, Ivy Lee and Edward Bernays were, you know, Edward Bernays being Sigmund Freud's nephew, they were masterful at harnessing Uncle Sigmund Freud's work to really dive into the, through depth research, to dive into the bowels of our psyche, so to speak, and pull out these mysterious motivations, what really motivates us. We say one thing, but we act on a different impulse. What is that? What's going on there? And they were masterful at pulling that out. And they were masterful at using that to, for example, remake the image of John D. Rockefeller from robber baron to philanthropist. And the joke was at the time, you know, after Ivy Lee remade his image and he would get out of his limousine, essentially, vehicle that he was shuttled to the ivory tower in, the joke was that he would throw dimes at the kiddies while, you know, before he went into the tower to steal millions from their parents. And it works so well that it continues on to this day. People think that folks like Bill Gates are philanthropists simply because they hear from the media that is largely controlled by these folks. Because again, think about, as an example, Alan McLeod's piece over at the Gray Zone, published back in 2021, when we were in full swing, you know, full COVID swing. Alan McLeod wrote a piece over the Gray Zone titled "Documents Show Bill Gates Has Given $319 million to Media Outlets to Promote His Global Agenda." $319 million actually originally appeared over at Mint Press, but that's a chunk of change. $319 million. To numerous media outlets, NPR, The Guardian, PRI, Der Spiegel, NBC Universal, obviously, you know, as part of MSNBC. What's the MS in MSNBC? CNN, KCET, The Daily Telegraph, Financial Times, Texas Tribune, The Atlantic, Al Jazeera, ProPublica, on and on the list goes. This is why Gary Allen wrote in the Rockefeller file, he titled chapter 4, Profit times Philanthropy Equals Power. This is, you know, because the strategy is so well known, it's cliche, but still we fall for it. And if we were really paying attention, we would be able to step back and figure this thing out. Anyway, before we get too far along, the point that I'm trying to make, so we can play the clip, Klaus Schwab and Sergey Brin, is that, you know, we try to walk the line and maintain a delicate balance of informing your discretion while not terrifying and terrorizing people. Hopefully we can motivate people and stimulate folks to, well, as the Bible puts it, love and good works, without terrifying and terrorizing people. It's a difficult task. It's a, you know, it's a delicate balance to maintain. So with that said, let us proceed. And here is the conversation from, I believe it was the 2017 World Economic Forum. The clip you can find on YouTube is titled, the video, Sergey Brin, No Big Deal, Just Give It a Shot. This is the exchange between Klaus Schwab and Sergey Brin. Go ahead, please.
So big data, digital tools at the service of medical and biological progress and advancing very fast. But can you imagine that in 10 years when we are sitting here, we have an implant in our brains and I can immediately feel, because you all will have implants, I can, and we measure your brain waves, and I can immediately tell you how the people react, or I can feel how the people react to your answers. Is it imaginable?
I think that is imaginable. I think
that's probably far enough.
Think, so you know, you can imagine that. You can imagine, well, you're going to be sort of transplanted into.
So, Klaus or Ray Kurzweil has written about this extensively, not the least of which in The Age of Spiritual Machines. This is the vision. Speaking of Sergey Brin, Ray Kurzweil is the head of research and development over at Google these days. So it's no wonder, I suppose, that Google is working toward the dystopian vision of someone like Ray Kurzweil. But just as a final point of note on this horrifying thing that Klaus Schwab just said, it was actually back in June of 2018, but it was first published January 19, 2017. It was the 2017 World Economic Forum. I will give you a thought that I think belies a deeper motive when we come back. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone. All alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance. No flashbulbs, no wine. He's haunted by something he cannot define. Bowel shaking earthquakes of doubt.
Welcome
and
back.
Assail him, impale him with monster truck force. In his mind, he's still driving, still making the grade.
You know, back when Kurzweil published Age of Spiritual Machines in 1999, the thought of someone sticking something in your brain is terrifying. This idea has been around for a long time. And as I have said recently, I need to go back and dig up the PowerPoint presentation corresponding to Jim Lewis, James Andrew Lewis presentation back in 2006, I want to say it was. I'm 99.9% sure it was 2006. And he said, and from the moment, you know, one of the best sources is always these people. Go to CSIS, go to the RAND Corporation, you know, just go dig around. Go start learning what nation building means and realize that when Barack Obama was calling for it, it meant something different than what we think. You know, and, you know, all of the infrastructure stuff, same thing in Obama 2, the Biden administration, Obama 2, where we have the hardcore leftist radicals destroying everything fundamentally American, shall we say. Anyway, Lewis said back in 2006, the grain of rice thing that we started hearing about back then, and remember, that was when Aaron Russo's America Freedom to Fascism was published as well. And there was a time when we were all talking about that. There were some other things, you know. There's another guy down in Texas, does some radio stuff. Maybe you've heard of him. He put out a deal called Endgame. That was pretty interesting too. At least the beginning of it was. It sort of trailed off at the end there, but you know. The technocratic elite, I mean, good grief. And, you know, what's particularly interesting is there's this effort to elevate them to godlike status. And yet, you know, they're real people. And I think that the clip that we played last week of Ezra Levant over at Rebel News talking to Masako, the Japanese it is independent citizen journalist at Davos this year, proves that these are just people. They put their pants on one leg at a time, and they're crazy, psychopathic. They've been groomed to believe and fancy themselves as gods, and they run around in these kinds of circles and operate as such because they've been allowed to do so. They've been socially engineered to believe these things, and then allowed, they run in a closed circuit of like-minded people, and you know, no one seems to say otherwise, and so hey, it must be so. Anyway, Lewis said back in 2006 that the grain of rice thing that we were hearing about is something for people to say no to. And the real technology they already had, he said. And, you know, if you go back to Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, which was discovered in 1986 and was allegedly, you know, the document discovered was allegedly dated May 1979. May is convenient, you know, May Day, and 1776 comes to mind and all of that. 18, well, anyway, May Day is a big day historically. Bad guys really, it's one of those days they really appreciate. So May 1979 was apparently the 25-year anniversary of this silent, this basically World War III, and which was begun at the first Bilderberg meeting that the public is aware of anyway, in 1954. And this concept was spoken of in that document, which again belies deeper motives. So I'll get back to the Klaus Schwab thing when we come back. Stick around. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, I want to spread the news that if it feels it's good getting used, oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up. My brother sit me right down and he talked to me. Oh, he told me that I ought not to let you just walk on me.
Welcome back.
And I'm sure he meant well.
Multitasking is bad for radio. I apologize. So, back to what Klaus Schwab said and why this is, you know, it's disturbing enough. Someone sticking stuff, you know, just writ large, we're going to stick stuff in people's brains. It's amazing how we've just been, and, you know, we've played clips of Neil Postman, for example, telling us about this back in the 90s. Remember Neil Postman told us all of the things that we're seeing? And, you know, he was a McLuhanite kind of a guy, a McLuhan acolyte who, you know, again, Marshall McLuhan had some interesting things to say about all of this, you know, coming through the 60s and 70s. And, you know, we have the futurists and the technocrats, again, guys like Bucky Fuller. And, of course, you know, Zbigniew Brzezinski was just very fond of technocracy. The guy who, you know, according to Patrick Wood, is arguably single-handedly responsible for rebooting and quietly incubating the technocratic movement at Columbia University. If you're not familiar, I mean, there's just mountains and mountains of evidence of the impetus of a small technocratic group of folks who fancy themselves elites. I agree with Ben Shapiro, you know, the operative term is probably better elitist. Just because you think you're elite doesn't mean that I agree. The Bible says God is no respecter of persons. And it actually, you know, in books like James, for example, we read that we're not supposed to do that. Because we always have a warped view of things and people when we do that. But, you know, we seem to do it anyway. I'm going to ingratiate myself to this person because to do so would obviously be to, you know, possibly be to my benefit at some point. Anyway, the even more deeply disturbing aspect of Klaus Schwab's remarks that we played there at in the first segment, you know, is it imaginable, Klaus Schwab, you know, certainly in the next 10 years and at first, you know, we will have he talks other places about this. You know, this is what he calls the fourth industrial revolution, the fusion of the physical, digital, and biological world through things like the implants. But it's not what we think. You know, and again, this concept has been around for decades and decades. So with Sergey Brin, he says, can you imagine that in 10 years, we're sitting here, we have implants in our brains, and I can feel immediately. And he points to the audience, because you will all have implants. Really, that's assumptive. We can measure all your brain waves. And to Sergey, he says, I can immediately tell you how the people react, or I can feel how the people react. Is it imaginable? The futurists want to do that. They want to cast their vision casting, spell casting into the future. And that's why they have these scenario planning deals, speaking of the futurists like Dr. Strangelove. So what's particularly horrifying, I would say, about this is, maybe I'll phrase it in a question. Question, if everyone has brain implants, as Klaus Schwab implies at that point, and is sharing the hive mind, or what Marvin Minsky called the society of mind, then why would there be any need for Schwab to tell Sergey Brin, his fellow panelist, how the audience is feeling? And I don't know about you, that sends chills up my spine. It's bad enough talking about putting implants in people's brains. Why would Klaus Schwab need to tell fellow panelist Sergey Brin? Sergey Brin is, most people would consider, top of the food chain when it comes to this kind of, here he is at World Economic Forum sitting with Klaus Schwab. Why does he have to tell Sergey Brin how the audience is feeling? And let the, you know, just let that rhetorical question sink in for a moment. The rhetorical answer, I think, immediately becomes crystal clear. And, you know, you think of all those old shows, movies, television shows, whatever, where villains double-cross other villains. And the rhetorical answer immediately, you know, you realize the plebs will be monitored, but the ubermensch will not. Those who are becoming like God, wait, I've heard this before. So, oh, yeah, Genesis chapter 3. If it ain't broke, I guess don't fix it. Plebs will be monitored. The ubermensch will not, at least not publicly, like the plebs in this case, obviously. I feel like at some point we need to, speaking of, you know, things get memory hold and we're living in the constant present, you know, Orwellian constant present. Martin Caden wrote The God Machine back in 1968. It was published in 1968. Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, Eric Schmidt, Ray Kurzweil, Elon Musk, Sergey, though, you know, not as anxious, it sounds like, as Klaus and friends, are busy trying to build the God Machine. You know, Martin Caden is also the guy responsible for Steve Austin, the $6 million man, and the Bionic Woman, and, you know, we used to do that. It was originally, my understanding was the title, wasn't it an ABC television movie, I think? Originally, it was titled, and when you watch the introductory deal there, you can find it on YouTube, you know, the little intro for the show, We Can Build Him Better, Stronger, Faster, blah, blah, blah. Able to leap tall buildings, and no, that's another guy. Same concept, though. It was titled Cyborg, my understanding. So, again, not trying to terrify anybody, but, you know, inform without terrifying. It's a delicate balance. So, we played the Sergey Brin clip. We played Snowden too, didn't we? Did we play Snowden already? Oh, no, we got to play Snowden. So, Edward Snowden speaking about the, you know, this was the interview with, what's his name? Henrik Moltke. So, you'll recall back in 2020, there was the New York Times article published, I think it was the 16th actually, but it's dated the 17th. So we'll call it the 17th. And by the 20th, Yuval Noah Harari had his piece in the Financial Times that Snowden referred to. And in the interview Snowden gave was on the 23rd of March. So all of this, you know, within a week. And that's an interesting coordination of things, if you know what I mean. Harari's article, for those interested in the Financial Times, you can find it over at the Internet Archive, actually. You've all known Harari, The World After Coronavirus. And by the way, we should probably include the MIT piece at the same time, March 17, 2020, titled We're Not Going Back to Normal by Gideon Litchfield, MIT Technology Review. Social distancing is here to stay for much more than a few weeks. It will upend our way of life in some ways forever. How did these people know, do you suppose? All right. So, without further ado, Edward Snowden. Go ahead, please.
A piece that I mentioned by Yuval Harari, which I would recommend everyone read, is what we have is a transition from government that's looking at us from the outside in mass surveillance. They used to be looking at your phone, right? And they wanted to know what you were clicking on, right? They want to know what you were reading, what you're buying, this kind of associated information. But now when we get into this health context, they want to know, are you ill? They want to know your physical state. They want to know what's happening under your skin. Imagine right. if we permit governments to say, look, we can track every cell phone of every person everywhere all the time. We can make inferences on the basis of this data set, and then we can take executive actions as a result of this information. What keeps them from going, well, we're worried about health. We're worried about public health. We're worried about protecting people. The primary symptom of the coronavirus is a fever, right? This develops before the cough and persists throughout the course of the virus. It's your immune system fighting it off. We're going to send an order to every fitness tracker that can get something like pulse or heart rate. And we're going to start demanding access to this kind of activity. And now we're going to go, well, these people have elevated pulses. And now, you know, 5 years later, the coronavirus is gone. This data is still available to them. They start looking for new things. They go, oh, you know, there's a terrorist group out there. They're putting propaganda on the internet, like we saw from ISIS.
This is the hammer looking for a nail kind of thing, right?
Right, exactly.
Which we've seen also in the last days with Clearview, this other company that provides facial recognition for law enforcement, that they're like, well, we can use our tool for the coronavirus.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, this is a constant problem, whether we're talking facial recognition. What happens now when we start to put these authorities together and remix them? They already know what you're looking at on the internet, right? They already know where your phone is moving. Now they know what your heart rate is, your pulse is. What happens when they start to intermix these and apply artificial intelligence to it? And Harari asks, if you have this bracelet that tracks your temperature and your pulse, and they know you're watching a propaganda video, or you're just watching a speech from a member of parliament who's the party in power at time, and they see you get angry, right? Because emotions really are biological processes. These are our products that have measurable states associated with them by sensors. And they go, well, this person doesn't like what's being said. It's one thing if an advertiser does this, still chilling, it's still dangerous, or a bank does it, or it happens in a job interview. But what happens when you have built, over the course of a generation, the architecture of oppression? And you live in Denmark, right? You go, look, my government's not that scary. I trust them. It's fine. The only thing I'm afraid of are the Swedes coming across the sea, right? And they haven't done that in a while, so it's okay now. Times are good. But then,
or the U.S. Biden,
there's an election.
That's a whole other discussion.
And then you get a Donald Trump. And then you think that's
there he is.
And then it gets worse. Right. And then it gets worse. And you have built a system of turnkey tyranny that is available to the next leader that can, in secret, at any time, be twisted. And you have no civil power remaining to resist it because you cannot coordinate. You cannot gather in public because the government instantly knows all of these people are around. These cell phones have all congregated in the park to discuss politics, to sing songs, whatever. And the police are already there. And in fact, the police don't even need to be there to take some action. They can notify your employer and you no longer have a job. They can revoke your residence permit if you're not a citizen. All of these things can happen programmatically, algorithmically, and we are moving closer and closer to that world every day that we let panic motivate our decisions rather than rational reflection regarding inevitable consequences about this narrowing of our rights.
I want to turn to a couple of questions.
I mean, can it be said any more clearly than that? Speaking of the residence permit, that sounds like a weird concept to Americans, even if you rent. But this is, you know, we've been hearing about the universal basic income in recent years. Now suddenly that's a conversation piece. And OpenAI is, well, ChatGPT is a conversation piece also. And the founders of OpenAI include Elon Musk and Sam Altman. Sam Altman has been talking about how the artificial intelligence will basically force us into a situation where universal basic income is our only alternative, because machines are better at everything than people. So the point is simply that, you know, at the highest levels of power and influence, these discussions are being had, and they are being couched in the context that this is the only way forward. So, something perhaps for people to think about. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
Show things to me.
Welcome back. So let's see if we can compress a little bit of ancient history real quick. So, modern history and ancient history. So speaking of OpenAI, again, founded in San Francisco in 2015 by Sam Altman, Peter Thiel, Reid Hoffman, Jessica Livingston, Elon Musk, and Ilya Sutskever. You know, some of those folks you know, some you perhaps don't, but there have been some interesting partnerships and things along the way, including Infosys. So you can go to Wikipedia and read under the history, nonprofit beginnings in December 2015, Sam Altman, Elon Musk, Greg Brockman, Reid Hoffman, Jessica Livingston, Peter Thiel, Amazon Web Services, AWS, Infosys, and YC Research, which is part of Y Combinator, announced the formation of OpenAI. And it's already, you know, the argument now or the discussion now is we can't keep it, you know, it won't work as a nonprofit. So who gets to decide who owns and gets to operate and manipulate the God machine? Speaking of Infosys, you may recall, is this the same Infosys associated with Carl Cameron's piece in December of 2001? You know, the four-part series that was supposed to be 12 parts, actually, and it was scrubbed after the first four installments. They were on the Fox News website for 2 weeks and then gone. You can still find it over at the Internet Archive. But Converse Infosys and Infosys more broadly was part of the Israeli spying. That was the title of the piece, Israeli Spying in the U.S. Suppressed, four-part Fox News series with Carl Cameron. He did these pieces. It was, you know, four-part series on Israeli spying. And particularly timely, December 2001, which dates back to before the events of September 11. Maybe we'll play a little bit of that when we come back, just for memory's sake. And then what's the point? What's the point about, you know, who cares? So Infosys, yeah, getting to that. Stick around, we'll be right back. Second hour coming up right after the short break.
Gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easeoff LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.